For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to another exciting night of NBA basketball.
With the first pick, the Detroit Pistons select Cade Cunningham from Oklahoma State University.
Chandler again. Oh, what a block by Max Seal! My goodness!
The Pistons are digging in. They got the depth. They got the big man. They got the better basketball team. No doubt about it.
There's Jaden playing the passing lane. Sky's a jam. And the crowd loves it.
Pistons need a three, and they have just under 3 seconds to do it. Here's Chauncey Phillips. Here it is.
Welcome to the Palace of Pistons podcast, part of the Believe Network. I'm your host, Mike Anguilano. Joining me this week is Aaron Johnson. Aaron, how are you doing, buddy? I have not been on the show for the last 2 weeks. I feel like not a whole lot has happened other than a pretty boring, I missed the All-Star game and I missed the trading deadline. So I missed quite a bit.
You missed quite a bit there. And then we had the week off with the All-Star break for the Pistons, where they only had a couple guys playing in the Rising Stars game. A lot of moves for the Pistons and some news as well from Thursday. I know we're going to talk about all of that, but feeling refreshed as we kick off. I know it's not really the second half of the season, but it kind of also is. I just considered the second half just because there's the break from the first, 50-something games or whatever it is. And I'm refreshed, ready to go for these last 30-something games of the season for the Pistons. We've got a lot of good stuff to talk about today, and I'm excited to get into it as always.
We sure do. We have a lot of things to cover. A flurry of moves in the last, 3 hours or so, 2 hours or so. We're going to get into all of that and more. But first, I'd like to thank our sponsor this week's episode, and that is BetOnline. And BetOnline continues to be your number one source for all your basketball wagering needs, including pro and college hoops throughout the year. We have March Madness coming up awfully soon, so that is exciting and both exciting and terrifying. But with up-to-the-minute odds, stats, and trends, you can follow your favorite team's path to the playoffs with in-game live betting contests and all the best player props. And you can experience the world's best wagering platform anytime, whether from your desktop or your mobile device. Head on over to BetOnline today. Be part of the team and remember to use our promo code BELIEVE, that's B-L-E-A-V, for a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, the game starts here. So before we get into the topics of today, I'm going to do just a quick plug for our Substack. Palace of Pistons has moved from our traditional website over to Substack. And the link to our Substack should be available wherever you get your podcasts, or if you're watching this or listening to this on YouTube, it will be in the description. We encourage all of you to subscribe to that. You'll get all of our content directly to your inboxes. And I think the most recent thing that was posted was, other than the podcast, was the trade deadline piece. Is that right, Aaron?
Yes.
Yes. So if you have been living under a Piston-sized rock and you would like a quick summation of what Detroit did at the deadline, and they were the most active team at the deadline, I encourage you to go over to our Substack, give that a quick look over, and subscribe. There'll be a lot more content heading towards the Substack throughout the rest of the year as we wrap up the NBA season, which is fast approaching. But of course, the Pistons continue to make waves even when they're not playing basketball. Our first topic of today is going to be about Isaiah Stewart, who had a bit of an incident a couple of weeks ago. And now, as of today, we have a verdict on his punishment for punching Drew Eubanks, getting arrested, all the good stuff that you love to see on a team with 8 wins in the middle of February. But Stewart will be suspended 3 games. That's per ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski. The assault charge that was initially handed down for Stewart was dismissed, so he'll miss the next 3 games. He'll miss games against the Indiana Pacers, which is happening in about an hour, and then a game against the Orlando Magic and the New York Knicks. So another odd turn in what has been a very strange season for Detroit. Aaron, you and Jasper talked about it last week, of just what a bizarre situation this is, especially for a guy that, you know, the beat has been saying, you know, is one of the leaders of the clubhouse. He's getting guys together. He's you know, him and Cade are the two that are, you know, keeping everybody on track and whatnot. And then to have this happen, in addition to his history of going after LeBron, and, you know, that became a gigantic meme. You know, what are your thoughts on Stu missing the next 3 games? And is this going to have any impact on the team other than the fact that you're going to miss out on, you know, some front court depth?
Yeah. You know, I don't think it's a topic we need to spend too much time on. I know Jasper and I talked about it at length last week, but I think it sums down to this. You know, you play stupid games, you win stupid prizes, and, you know, it's something that should have never happened, but it happened, and this is the result. I think, you know, it's unfortunate that he's out these next 3 games, but there's no way he was going to come out of this debacle unscathed. And I think if you're Detroit, you're honestly feeling pretty lucky that it wasn't any sort of longer-term suspension. It's really important for the Pistons to figure out how to best utilize Stewart, and they had been kind of going back and forth between using him at the 5, a little bit off the bench. He was back in the starting lineup before he got hurt and then had this debacle. So I think it's important that he comes back and the Pistons can use these final 30 games or so to really figure out where he fits. I think we, you know, you and I and a lot of the people that listen to the show kind of have this idea of where we think Stewart fits best at. I think, you know, you and I are pretty much in lockstep that him coming off the bench as a backup 5 is going to maximize his ability to impact the game and for him to be the best version of himself. But the Pistons don't feel that way, and they want to keep playing him at the 4. So what these final games look like for him, or can he continue to build a pairing with Jalen Duren in the front court? Can the Pistons make it work with Stewart, Duren, and Fontecchio as the front court? Can they figure out a way to play Stewart with both Duren and Ausar Thompson, 2 other core guys? So it's very important for Stewart to be on the court. This is just another issue keeping him off the court. And when you're already missing games because of injury and whatnot, it's really unfortunate that he has to sit out these next 3 simply because of something stupid that just should have never taken place. So it's got to be a learning lesson, and he's got to come back for hopefully to figure out where he's going to fit with this team moving forward, if he's going to fit with this team moving forward.
Yeah, but that's pretty much the only thing you could take out of this is it's a boneheaded decision. It was a boneheaded thing then, and it is going to have some negative repercussions with him missing games, no matter how you feel about Isaiah Stewart and his fit. We've been pretty vocal about starting him as detrimental to the offense, especially now with even less shooting on the roster around him. But yeah, it's a brief time for the Pistons to evaluate life without Isaiah Stewart in the rotation at all. I don't think it has too big of an impact because ultimately you should just sign him to an extension. He is going to have a tradable contract this upcoming offseason. But I don't think the Pistons are thinking about that right now. I think what's more concerning is that he was heralded as a guy, him and Cade Cunningham, during the massive losing streak, as keeping guys motivated, keeping guys on task, you know, being a vet in the locker room, and to have something like that happen. They are lucky that it wasn't a, you know, a Draymond Green-esque. I know that he had some more prior offenses that led to that big suspension, but they're lucky that it wasn't something more significant, because it really could have. So disappointing to see from a morality standpoint, but ultimately, you know, he's going to miss some games. The Pistons will get a look at life without him, but I don't know how much of an impact this is going to have in terms of his staying power on the roster beyond this year either. It's just going to be a brief blip out of the All-Star break, which has already been a weird time with, you know, guys being out after playing in the All-Star game. Like Donovan Mitchell is now out today. LeBron is out, and
so weird.
We had this happen. Yeah, it's very bizarre, but whatever. So for Stu, I'm more disappointed from a morality and ethics standpoint. But I agree, we don't need to spend any more time on this. You know, it is what it is. They'll be playing without him, and you know, that's for the best. Oh Lord, never mind. Not a stomach ache.
That's got a few people pumped. I'm telling you, there's a very small group of people that saw the Stewart suspension come down and praised the Lord above, because they knew that solidified 15, 20 minutes for James Wiseman these next three games. There are some people that were elated about the Isaiah Stewart suspension.
I wonder if one of them was Bob Myers. Trying to find a reclamation project. Yeah, that is going to mean more James Wiseman, and that means less happy for us. But there are people that are hell-bent on thinking that he has untapped potential to be a superstar. He just hasn't been given that chance, even though he has. I don't want to turn this into a James Wiseman roast, because we could do that every single week. Let's talk about some of the other moves that the Pistons made. A lot of G League moves, and I wish we had Czar on to help us sift through all of them and give his context. They waived Malcolm Kaslan. That was a few days ago, maybe even yesterday. Not a super big move to me. I mean, I've not been keeping up with the Motor City Crews too much, but they converted Stanley Mune to a standard deal. I think that is a bigger deal in terms of impact with the Pistons. Stanley really earned an opportunity, I think. So that's nice to see. They signed Buddy Boeheim, and of course Jasper's not here to wave his Syracuse orange flag
for Buddy getting another chance. For a second, can we stop right there for a second? I don't think I've seen Jasper more excited about anything to happen to the Pistons in the past 3 years, the two, three years that he's been a part of Palace of Pistons, than he was when they signed Buddy Boeheim. I mean, the victory lap this guy was taking on X and in our group chat, hilarious. I mean, look, I'm glad Jasper's happy, but Jasper's got enough going for him. He didn't need this. The same way the Pistons really didn't need this. And look, I'm not going to get all up in arms over a two-way contract deal. I get Buddy Boeheim has been a little bit better this year, and like I recognize that. That's good for him. But come on. He played 10 games with the Pistons last year. His true shooting percentage was under 29%. 93% of his shots were from the three-point line. And you know what he shot from the three-point line in his 10 games with the Pistons last year? 16%. It's just... Look, I'm glad he's gotten better, but look, he's 24 years old. There's no reason for the Pistons to really be going out and making it a key move to go and sign Buddy Boeheim to a two-way contract, who, by the way, was already a part of your program. He was already playing with the Motor City Crews. This is one of those moves that has Mike Villani on 97.1 The Ticket talking about how the Pistons are doing favors for friends and whatnot, and it's just people were losing their mind over this two-way contract. And at the end of the day, is it that big of a deal? No. Does it really impact anything that the Pistons are doing? No. But it's just hilarious, because it's like you don't even use it on a guy that maybe is young, went undrafted, whatever. I don't know. Buddy's 24. The numbers got a little bit better last or this year, but we saw him play in the NBA last season, and it was very clear that he was nowhere near close to being an NBA player. And for a team that just got rid of, what, 3-4 non-NBA players at the deadline, who, by the way, have not been able to find new teams in the NBA, I just don't understand what the point is of signing a guy to a multi-year contract that, I don't know, unless he comes up in these last 30 games and gets a few opportunities and shows he's a completely, completely different player, you're just going to be looking at this contract as like just another blip in the Troy Weaver masterpiece.
I mean, there's like a 99% chance that it is just a blip in the Troy Weaver masterpiece, which has all sorts of paint of various colors. There's some feathers. There's like macaroni art on it. It's a whole thing. Yeah, it's a nothing burger. I mean, all four of these moves that I put down, I don't know how to pronounce the other individual's name. Tosan. Aaron, you want to give it a go?
Oh, I remember it too, because they I've heard it a few times. I'm not going to say it out of respect because I can't remember it. I actually do like the idea of bringing him in under contract, because he's actually had some really productive minutes in the G League this year. He was playing very well with the Motor City Crews at the beginning of the season. He's a rookie coming from Princeton, went to the Memphis Grizzlies for a little bit on a 10-day contract, then was with Detroit right before the break on a 10-day contract. So he's had some good minutes in the G League. I think it kind of makes sense for Detroit, because right now, without Isaiah Stewart especially, they're a little thin up front. Again, I don't really know how much he's going to play with Detroit the rest of the year. Maybe you don't really see either of these guys until it's the last 10, 15, 20 games, and maybe the Pistons are kind of pseudo-shutting some guys down for the rest of the season. But Tosan actually has some NBA-level skills that I'm interested in seeing him at least get a few more minutes with Detroit this year. I think there's some benefit to that. And also, for the Crews' sake, the Motor City Crews have been a pretty good basketball team this year, but something that you need in the G League that's hard to come by are bigs. And Tosan's a guy that, now on a two-way contract, is going to be able to play a lot of games with them and probably help them this year a lot. So I like it for the Crews, I think, more than I like it for Detroit. But getting him back and kind of keeping him guarded from any other team, I like that a lot more than bringing Buddy Boeheim onto a longer-term contract.
To be clear, this is not a Syracuse hoodie that I'm wearing. This is an old Cavs hoodie, just so that everyone's clear that I'm not
would be pining. Head to toe in Syracuse gear if he was on the podcast today.
I can't.
Facial detail, he'd have it all on.
Face paint. For what it's worth, it is Tosan Ewoma.
That's right. That's right.
That is the correct pronunciation. And he was called Ivy League Giannis, just so that we're all aware. and he's British. Very interesting. You don't see a whole lot of British players making it in the NBA. But yeah, he was like a point forward for Princeton during the NCAA tournament, I believe. So Detroit, he's versatile.
We had a few guys get NBA looks this year. I mean, the Motor City Crews lost Jontay Porter early into the season, which elevated Tosan into a bigger role with Motor City. They've had a couple good players down there, get called up into the NBA this season. So again, I like Tosan. It would actually be really nice to have Jontay Porter right now, because I think I'd rather see Jontay Porter minutes over James Wiseman, but.
Oh, by far.
Just thought I'd bring that up. There have been a few guys. I mean, Tosan's only 22. You know, I think he's worth a look. Not that it matters. These are two-way contracts. Like, in the grand scheme of things, this means nothing. Yeah. The conversation is very niche. I'm sure a lot of people don't know who these players are, know that these moves happen, or cared that they happen. But I don't know. I'm at least a little bit intrigued by
Well, I think the one out of these four, I think – converting Stanley Mune's contract to a standard deal probably has the biggest impact on the Pistons. And even that's not a huge impact, but Stanley deserved at least an opportunity with the shooting that they sent out at the deadline and Bogdanovich and Burks. They got rid of Joe Harris, and whether you want to say he's a shooter or not, technically he was considered one of the rare shooters on the roster. So You got to fill that in some way. What do you think about Stanley Muta getting a standard contract and then having some time to, you know, get some minutes on a Pistons team that needs shooting? I mean, I don't know how, you know, what you could really expect out of him, but, you know, this is probably the most impactful of the moves that they made.
Stanley Amune's earned that roster spot for the rest of the season with the Pistons. He's had some big performances up with the main ball club this year. Like, is this a guy that's going to go out and turn into this, you know, guy that's worth a 3-4 year, $15 million year contract? Like, no, probably not. But the way that he competes, the shots that he's able to make, like, there are NBA skills that he has, and Detroit wasn't going to bring in, you know, some guy off the waiver wire, some veteran that's played 5, 6, 7 years in the NBA at this point in the season with being an 8-win ball club. This is the type of move that you make. Amude on a 2-way contract has given you some good games, shown he can be an NBA player. Bring him up for the rest of the season. There will be opportunities to get him minutes. In fact, you could argue that you should prioritize minutes for him over some of these guys that were playing before the deadline, aka Evan Fournier, and see what he can develop into. You've got him the rest of this year. You can see what type of progress he makes next offseason, and then bring him into camp and let him compete for a roster spot and see how much better of a player he's become at a much younger age and a very cost-controlled contract for next season. So that is definitely the most impactful move that the Pistons made on Thursday, and it's by far the best one as well.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Yeah, I would agree. He definitely earned that spot. 5.2 points. He's shooting 54% from three, which very small sample size, obviously, but it at least demonstrates that he can shoot. And really, what do the Pistons have to lose? You know, they don't have any shooting before the deadline. They have even less of it now, even though Simone Fontecchio is a shooter and, you know, seems like he's a good fit. Still, you need to find some shooting somewhere, and he's low risk, you know, low-ish reward. But, you know, you give a guy a look, and you never know. Stranger things have happened. There, you know, Craig Porter Jr. for the Cavs has been a viable player for them. He's been their best backup point guard by a country mile, and he was on a two-way before he was recently converted. You know, there's plenty of G League. Jontay Porter is getting minutes right now for the Toronto Raptors. He's getting pretty regular minutes behind Jakob Poeltl. I mean, there are good players to be found in the G League. And I think one of the reasons that, you know, the NBA changed the name or wanted to change the name from the Developmental League is that it was known as like a badge of misfortune or failure. And that's really not what it is. It is a different league to set players up to be more successful in the NBA. So I'm looking forward to seeing more minutes from Stanley. We've got a bunch of young guys on the roster already. Just add one more and, you know, see what he can do in some limited minutes. Speaking of the rest of the season, let's talk about what we're going to be looking for the rest of the season. What players you're going to be looking for? Are you going to be looking at Monty Williams' coaching? You know, who has the most to gain? Who has the most to lose? So let's just start with the, you know, softball question of what you're looking for the rest of the season, Aaron. You know, is it something in particular? Is it a player? Is it a rotation? Is it a particular skill set from somebody?
There's a lot of things to look for with this group. There just has to be a lot of different improvements across the board. You know, you could talk about a multitude of storylines and narratives with this team. Can Cade Cunningham and Jaden Ivey continue to form an on-court partnership and coexist in a way that's going to benefit the Detroit Pistons, right? What type of improvements can Jalen Duren make? I think the biggest thing for me, people talk about his need to be able to shoot the ball, expand his range, even hit the mid-range shots. And yeah, you know, I certainly agree. Like, those are things that he should be striving to get better at and add to his game. But the fact of the matter is, it's very, very important that he starts to learn how to compete on the defensive end and make winning plays for 48 minutes on the defensive end without fouling and having to exit the game in foul trouble. Like, can he become a better communicator? Can he become a better rim protector? Can he play better post defense when he's getting posted up by these bigger bigs, Nemanja Sabonis, Jonas Valanciunas? Like, can he do a better job of using his size and athleticism in those matchups, learning how to play against these more seasoned post players and help lead this defense? Like, he's going to be a part of their identity, especially on the defensive end long-term, you'd have to imagine, if he's a fit with this group. So I think looking at Jalen Duren is super, super important. And what can the new guys bring? This is really a tryout for them, right? Simone Fontecchio, Quentin Grimes, both those guys expected to be back with the Pistons next year. You're going to expect to see ample opportunity for them, and seeing where they fit, who they play best with. Is Fontecchio a long-term answer at a starting forward spot? Is it Quentin Grimes? Do Grimes and Marcus Sasser make for this, you know, super dynamic bench scoring unit together? I think those are just, you know, just a few of the questions on the court. What happens, though, with someone like Monty Williams, who has been largely criticized all year long? Does he get away from, I think, one of the biggest things with him that has stood out with me? He'll say something, whether it be at a practice or a pregame shoot-around or a postgame press conference, and then they'll get to that next game, and he'll contradict what he said and do the opposite. So can he find a way? You know, I think one of the things he's mentioned post All-Star break is that he wants this team to really compete and be competitive these final 30-something games of the season. That was probably his big quote from his All-Star break press conference. And it's like, okay, well then, are they going to be, or are you going to continue to play 12, 13 guys a night like it's CYO basketball, and you've got to play everyone a certain number of minutes, and you've got to cap guys at a certain number of minutes? So, you know, is he doing what he says he wants to actually do? Is he actually going to follow up and do that in his role as the head coach? So there's a lot of different things to look for. Didn't even touch on Asar Thompson. Didn't even touch on, you know, has the game slowed down for him now? Can he find ways to be more effective on offense so that he can be on the court for longer stretches and in closing minutes of a game? I think Cade Cunningham in general, like, these last 30 games for him, he's extension eligible this summer for that rookie max contract. That's a big deal and a big storyline that I don't think is getting looked at enough. Like, if he comes out and is kind of mundane and just kind of average or gets hurt again, are you comfortable locking him into a 5-year max contract this summer? Do you want to do that? So I know that was a rant. I know that was a lot of different things. You know, if there's anyone that you want to go over specifically, we absolutely can, but there's a lot going on in my mind about these post All-Star break Pistons. I think there's a lot of different storylines to watch. Those are the biggest ones for me.
Those are all very important. And I think Duren being, you know, just growing up, I think, is a sneaky one, because as the roster gets closer to extension eligible, Cunningham will be able to be extension eligible this summer. Ivy's not far behind. That means neither is Duren. You're going to have to look at the long-term feasibility of this roster when you're handing out extensions to everybody. And if there's a player that doesn't look like they're going to be the right fit, you know, they are going to be eligible to be moved. And we already saw inklings of that this, you know, deadline period of, oh, maybe they can move Ivy because there's some redundancies, or are, you know, would they move on from Duren because his defense is really, his defensive IQ is just not quite there yet, but he's, you know, super young. So I totally get that with Duren. And I think that's worth monitoring, because eventually the Pistons are going to have to figure out who they're going to keep and who they're going to build around. And, you know, when you want to go get a superstar to glue everybody together, you know, who is on the chopping block to make that happen, or who are you willing to move on from? I'm looking at the wings. I'm looking at Grimes and Thompson. I think they're kind of Spider-Man meaning, you know, each other a little bit as high intensity defensive guys that other teams really want, but who are kind of hampered a little bit by the shot. Grimes is a little bit better lately shooting. You know, he fits a lot better. He's a, you know, slightly more advanced version of Asar right now, but Asar probably has more athletic ability and maybe has a higher ceiling. Definitely has a higher ceiling, but I'm watching the wings because those are two guys that you want to have in your rotation regularly next year. The shot for Asar Thompson is going to be going to continue to be the thing that holds him back the most. If he can develop a corner three, gain some confidence, you know, have a little bit of a wrinkle in his game, I think that pushes a lot of momentum into next year, and that's exciting, or next season, rather. Interesting point, though, about Cade being extension eligible. Would the Pistons do that? And I think they're definitely going to do that. I think they have to do that. The question is, with all the moves that Monty has made and not made, or rather Troy Weaver has made and not made, no rookie has not accepted the rookie scale extension before. No one has, because it's so much money, everybody takes it. It's one of the CBA's, you know, tricks in keeping players from just moving teams year after year after year after year. Ben Simmons took it. Brandon Ingram took it. Zion, all of these guys took it without even hesitation because it's so much money. Not that this is going to happen, but, you know, would Cade be the first guy to do the, you know, to do that and say, never mind, you know, I'll take my chances elsewhere. Or if the Pistons don't offer him the full max for some reason, you know, is that going to be a whole new storyline of, you know, they didn't offer the max, he didn't accept it. Now we're, you know, looking at trades for Cade Cunningham. And I just have bad feelings of, you know, is he going to be the first one to reject the rookie scale extension and all that money? You know, he'll take less money to go somewhere else just because the Pistons have built the team in such a strange way that has made life more difficult for him.
See, I'm more so on the side of, like, has Cade earned that extension this offseason? I think there's more work to be done on his side rather than him rejecting it. Like, should the Pistons offer it to him? I mean, I don't know. Maybe he just left a really bad taste in my mouth from the final two games before the break, but I just think there are some
clear
of improvement for him. And I think I'd be a little concerned if we're going into the off season and we're kind of having these same discussions and we're seeing these same types of things where it's the lackadaisical moments throughout the games. It's the games where he finishes with, you know, 12 points on 4 of 12 shooting and 6 turnovers, like, that kind of stuff for a number one guy, for a max player, it's just not acceptable. You can't lock yourself into that. And, you know, it doesn't mean if the Pistons don't offer him that extension this summer that he's gone. Like, he'd still be under contract for the following season. He would still be a restricted free agent for the following season. So you could still sign him to that max contract that summer. But I think there's just more for him to prove on that end. And I think outside of Detroit, people feel that way. Maybe the people in Detroit don't necessarily feel that way. I know there are a lot of people that are in lockstep that Cade's the guy. And I do, you know, gun to my head, I do think Cade's the guy, but I need to see another step to his game in this final part of the season for me to feel comfortable giving him that rookie max this offseason.
And that's fair. And you're right. It doesn't have to be this offseason. They will have time to do another contract offer the following offseason. And, you know, hopefully the Pistons put a better roster around him this offseason so that you're able to accurately assess whether he is the guy. Because I think you're right. I think there is a probably a healthy amount of people that are not sure if he is. But to those people, I say, well, I don't necessarily think he's been given a fair shot to be put in a position to succeed. And, you know, there is some blame for Cade and something's out of his control, like injuries. And, you know, We'll have to see what this offseason brings. Not that that's something to watch for the rest of the season necessarily, but Cade playing well is definitely going to be up there, especially now that the roster is, you know, set for the rest of the year. You got your guys. Right, right, exactly. I gave the deadline a 6 out of 10 for Detroit because I thought they'd made some moves they kind of needed to. But, you know, I think the big win was not doing something big and stupid. So what about who has the most to gain and who has the most to lose for the rest of the season? Certainly all the G League guys are going to need to make their moment matter whenever they're on the court. But aside from the G League guys, you know, who has the most to gain and who has the most to lose for the last, you know, couple of weeks here of the season?
I mean, if you had to say financially, I think it would be Cade, just in light of the conversation that we just had.
Sure.
You know, outside of him, with all of the discussion surrounding Jaden Ivey this season, how the beginning of the season went, him coming off the bench, him being challenged by Monty Williams, having to really fight for rotation minutes, playing behind Killian Hayes, to kind of being forced into being the guy with Cade Cunningham out, getting that opportunity to play in the starting lineup, and absolutely crushing it with Cade out. And the numbers have still been good with Cade back. It's just can him and Cade do enough these last 30 games to prove that they're worth building around moving forward? I think Jaden Ivey is a guy that, you know, if things don't get better over these last 30 games, look, he's been talked about as a guy that could be moved before. Teams obviously know he's talented, but if his best minutes are only when Cade is off the court, does he get moved? And, you know, I think him and Cade Cunningham do work together. I think the numbers say that, and I think what we've watched says that at times as well. But if the Pistons don't end up winning more than, you know, 2-3 games the rest of the year, I think they have to look at some of these core guys on the roster and say, look, I don't think we can continue to go with this iteration of the core if these are the results we're getting. And maybe we need to package Ivy with a pick or Ivy with something else and go get a 6'8", 6'9 wing that's going to help this team and maybe doesn't need the ball in his hands as much. So I don't know. I think Ivy would be my guy if I couldn't pick Cade. I just think financially speaking, Cade is my answer, but I think Ivy is too. I don't know if there's really anyone else that is at that same magnitude, because I don't think we're really concerned about the likes of someone like Evan Fournier, right? He doesn't really have a lot to gain or lose here. I don't really think it matters. He's an expiring contract right now. The Pistons are waiting to get him off the books. And I just don't think there's anyone else that matters as much as Ivy right now that you're probably seriously worried about being able to work with this core and with this team long-term. I don't think you have that mindset for Ausar Thompson yet after just one season. And, you know, I don't think Jalen Duren is in that spot yet unless he has a really rough last 30 games.
So you mentioned 2 or 3 games left that the Pistons win. How many games do you think they're going to win the rest of the way? They're at 8 wins right now.
So
I have the schedule up if you'd like to see it.
I did look at the schedule and I kind of went through and looked at the opponents and said, there's probably 10 games that they can compete in, or at least should compete in, against teams that aren't in the playoffs or are maybe on the verge of the play-in. So I looked at like Brooklyn, Memphis, they've got a game against Washington still. They end the season against San Antonio. They've got a couple games against the Bulls. So I got to like 10 games that they should compete in and have a chance to win in. Like, do they win 5 or 6 more games this year? Is that fair? Do they end with 14, 15 wins? Does that seem right? I mean,
I think it's possible.
5 wins would probably be what I would say. I'd say 5. They win 5 more this year. Maybe they find a way to steal a game against someone like Indiana. I don't know. But I think I'd say 5 is what I would expect, as high, you know, maybe 7 or 8, which is really sad to say. But you could also win as few as 2 or 3. I mean,
Yeah.
This team didn't give us a lot to work with heading into the All-Star break, but hopefully a practice or two more now that they're back, and getting someone like Quentin Grimes back as well. They'll bring back Isaiah Stewart in a handful of games here too. So you think they'll be a little bit better over the last 30.
Well, they should be a little bit better because they got a little bit better at the deadline. You know, they played Boston twice and they play the Heat back to back. I think I just went through, I counted. I think I counted the exact same 10 games that you did. I think five would be fine. Five would be great. Between five and seven. And, you know, I'm looking at the tail end of the schedule. There's no teams that are going to be resting guys because they clinch playoff spots. Like if they played Boston or Miami towards the end, maybe not the Heat, but definitely Boston. If they had played Boston later in the season, you know, they may have been able to sneak a win against the Celtics, who just rested everybody and played Peyton Pritchard for 40 minutes. But I don't think that's going to happen. It's they play the Celtics the 22nd and the 18th. They're not going to be clinching by then. Yeah, I would be fine with five wins because you're integrating a lot of new players too, and you know there will be a bit of a curve there, and they're already not very good. So five wins will be what I say. They could sneak one against the Bulls. The Nets look totally hapless. The Grizzlies might have Killian Hayes by the April 5th meetup.
No, he's not on a team just, yet, man. That dream might be over.
No, he's not.
I mean, we were talking about
that was a flash.
Not get a second round pick for Killian Hayes. He's going to get picked up by someone, and you'd think a team would have done it by now, and they haven't. So, like, the reality is the Pistons just had three or four non-NBA players on their roster, some of them starting and playing 30 minutes a game for them. And I think we're just going to have to live with the reality for this team for the first 50-something games.
Short-term memory. You just have to move on. Just have to forget that that happened and look towards the future. So the last thing was, because I thought that this was great, Monty Williams had some comments on the 20th, this would be yesterday, about how the team is going to be playing to win down the stretch. I'm not going to be throwing certain combinations on the floor just to see how they look. We're done with that. We'll be competing. Naturally, this was quote tweeted to hell on X, and it's just another in the long line of Monty Williams-isms of where he doesn't have to think about Isaiah Livers playing. He just knew. He didn't have to think about it. He knew he was going to start him. Just the comments that he's made have been nothing short of like Backton levels of foolishness. But any thoughts on Monty now fully pulling the lever on win now mode for the Pistons?
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Look, man, let's see it before we think it's over at this point. It goes back to what I've said earlier. Monty said a lot of times certain things that he needs to do or is going to do or wants to do and then doesn't do it. So, you know, I'll be watching this Indiana game. Obviously, we're recording before it here on Thursday night. I'll be watching the game against Indiana. I'll be watching the games after that. And we'll see if that actually happens. You know, we'll see if he's playing 9-10 guys, bigger minutes, heavier minutes, what he's doing with Isaiah Stewart when he's back. I'll believe it when I see it with him. The last thing I'll say is, you know, you mentioned the tweet getting quote tweeted to hell, and it's been Monty Williams' season. I've never seen – it wasn't this bad with when Stan Van Gundy was the Pistons coach. It wasn't this bad when
DeWitt
was the Pistons coach. I've never seen more tweets get picked up by Pistons Twitter as quotes from Monty Williams, and they just go off on the quotes. It's unlike any other coach before that in Detroit. It's happened to a few of the quotes I've tweeted out this year from press conferences that I've been at. Obviously, we've seen it on a ton of, you know, James Edwards or Amari's tweets. So I've just never seen that before. And Monty Williams is certainly aware of it too, because he's made a comment a few times where it's like, I can't say this, or I got to be careful what I say because Twitter will have a day with it, or something along those lines. So he's aware of it. And I'm always just picturing him in his press conferences, like, I've really got to be careful what I say here, or this is going to be all over Twitter for the next 2.5 hours.
There is a way to fix that, and it's to not say such random crap like this. Like, what does it even mean to be like, oh, we're going to compete now?
Right.
What was he missing before?
You know, right. You won 8 games. You said before you wanted to play 82 competitive games this year. You haven't done nearly half of that. What do you mean now it's about being competitive? It just doesn't really make sense. So, it's like, I feel bad for the guy, but at the same time, he brings this upon himself with some of the things that he says and does. So I get why Pistons, who is frustrated beyond frustrated, you know, does what they do.
Yeah, the stuff that he does and says just goes viral. Like when he, I don't remember what game it was, but he was walking through the tunnel at the end of the game and he just like ran his hands over his head while he was walking back and every, you know, it got onto NBA Central or whatever, any of those, you know, aggregator accounts. And it has like 1500 quote tweets of like, this man's going through it. Yeah, he is going through it. As are all of us watching the Pistons every single game. We're also all going through it. I'll just say this. If James Wiseman plays more than like 10 minutes, even with Isaiah Stewart out, we know that, you know, he's just full of it in this be competitive landscape. Mike Muscala is getting every single backup minute just because he can do one thing well, and that's shoot. Even if he goes 0-5, at least he can stretch the floor. So I'm very interested to see what levers Monty pulls now that he's in full win now mode. So Aaron, we've got through all of our topics. Do you have anything else? As you know, the Pistons are about to play in what, 30 minutes?
Yeah,
are they at 7 or 7:30?
They play at 7, so about 20 minutes from where we're wrapping this up. So
okay. Do you have any other thoughts before we wrap up?
I think we've covered it all. I think we need to see what this team looks like post All-Star break to really start to be able to make some bigger analysis on where they're going moving forward in the players on the court. So like I said, I'll be watching these next handful of games very, very closely to see if this is a different team than the team that they were heading into the All-Star break, because those final two games were just such bad examples of how to play basketball that it was just so frustrating to watch. So
yeah,
looking for a better performance from this team as they try to salvage whatever's left of this season.
Yeah, I'm very interested to see how they look. You know, this is still a team with lots of good young players on it, a coach that was coach of the year, despite not acting like that at all. It's still a team that has, I don't want to say a high ceiling, but at least an intriguing one. There's a lot of talent on this roster. I'm interested to see how it looks with maybe some more players that fit what they need in wing defenders like Grimes and big shooters like Fontecchio. So I'm looking forward to seeing how they play the rest of the way. You know, you talk about most to gain and most to lose, you know, that includes the coaching staff in the front office too, to me. Maybe Troy Weaver's, you know, going to be playing with, you know, just whatever because he's on his way out. But I don't think we haven't been given any indication that's what it is. He just signed an extension. So I'm looking forward to seeing how the team plays the last portion of the season here. I think it's going to be telling to what kind of offseason we're going to be heading towards.
And before we go, I do want to take some time to do some end of show plugging, shouting out, all that good stuff. Again, the Substack, Need your support over there. Need you guys subscribing to our Substack. It helps us out a lot as we kind of go into this new iteration of the Palace of Pistons brand. We really, really need you to subscribe. So the link to do that is in the description of the wherever you're listening or watching this on or from. It's also as easy as going to palaceofpistons.com and typing in your email to subscribe to our newsletter. Obviously, wherever you're listening from, YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, leave us a like, drop us a follow, leave us a rating, all that good stuff. Love hearing what you guys have to say in the YouTube comments as well. You guys are always very active in there, so we appreciate that a ton. Make sure to follow us on our socials as well. Follow us on Twitter, at Palace of Pistons. We're also on TikTok now, Palace Pistons on TikTok. So make sure to give us a follow there as we grow that page as well. We're on Facebook, Instagram, all the big places. Make sure to drop us a follow there. Show your support. We really, really appreciate it as we go into the final games of the season.
Yes, dutiful leader Aaron doing the business. We started doing this just as, you know, friends who wanted to talk about basketball. Now it's turned into something bigger with people who care the same way that we do and follow and, you know, care enough to comment. And, you know, we love that. So we want to make sure that we reach as many people as possible and don't leave anybody behind. So we do appreciate all of the support, and we hope that there'll be more of it. Even though the season's been the huge bomb, but, you know, still plenty to talk about, and we hope that you'll be joining us. So before we go, I would like to thank the sponsor of this week's episode, and that's BetOnline. And you can use our promo code BLEAV, B-L-E-A-V, to receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit when you use BetOnline. For my co-host, Aaron Johnson, I'm Mike Anguilano. Thank you so much for joining us on this week's edition of the Palace of Pistons podcast, and we will see you all next time.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early, so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.